This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. Visit FUBARradio.com for more details. FUBAR Radio.
This is FUBAR, Ollie and Simon here with you as we take a look back at the last 7 days on planet Earth. And hello, Earthlings. Before we get into what's been trending across the world with Twitter news, and Seb will be here in a sec, big things happened in my life since last week. I went to Bristol for my friend's 30th.
Mm-hmm. Big night. I spoke to you the next day about 1 o'clock and you were like, oh yeah, just grabbing some breakfast. So I knew it was a big one for you. That is a big one. You're normally up very early.
It was kind of I have one of those beautiful sort of fleeting moments of grace, and I think we all have them from time to time where We'd had a really, really busy week at work. We'd done a load of radio shows. We'd like signed off a few projects. There's some exciting things in the pipeline. I had dinner with my girlfriend on the Friday night.
Mm.
And we just had a really nice dinner. And then like I just felt like everything was in place. And I got on the motorway to drive up to Bristol. It was like a beautiful sunset. I had my music on. All of my friends, like 50% of them migrated to Bristol so that they're all down there now. So I was so excited about seeing everyone. I just had one of those moments on the motorway where I was like, but I think I think I got a bit too,
right.
Do you know what I mean?
Fine.
Like,
speeding
so
ticket.
I didn't arrive until 10:30 and I ran across Bristol to Stokes Croft to this place called The Attic where everyone was. And as I arrived, I was sort of just high on life and ready to, I just went really hard.
Oh, dear.
And then I found myself in this rave at about 1 o'clock in the morning. And it's like a really sweaty room. There was loads of really like urban guys in there. Do you know what I mean? Like big muscles, vests,
right.
Chains around their neck.
Chains around their neck?
You know, like thick, like necklaces.
Oh, right.
You know, like
sorry.
A chain necklace. And but I was right in the thick of it, just having a great time.
How are you dancing there?
Like just sort of with the beat, just like up and down, just like high five,
like a fitness DVD,
getting a carry on, like high fiving people, like buying people drinks, like just really carried away. Just like, you know, when you see a guy who's got children, he's been let loose for a weekend.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? In Vegas, like on a stag do, he's just gone absolutely wild.
Yeah.
And I got so caught up in this. I got so, like, if you looked from afar, I stuck out like a sore thumb. But in my mind, I was part of that crew.
Really?
I'd lost my friends at this point. I had a great time. And lots of MCs were going up and like,
oh no, please tell me you didn't.
Like, you know, sort of doing like spitting sort of rhymes. And I was like, yeah, just sort of going with it.
Oh no.
And there was a moment where they're like, right, have we got any more MCs in the room?
Please tell me you did not.
And there was, like, I got so carried away that there was this tight, and I mean,
split second. Where you thought I could do this.
Or I thought, I could pull this off.
Yeah.
Like, I flashed him. I was like, I talk for a living. Like, I'm in with everyone.
Yeah, but
here.
That's different.
No, Simon, I know how ludicrous this is. Can you imagine? I would have been murdered.
You'd been an internet sensation.
If I went up on there and pronounced my T's.
Oh, my goodness.
Game over. But there was this split second where I was so high on life that I genuinely thought I could go up and MC to dubstep in the middle of a grime club in Bristol.
The idea
delusional.
Of that. Yeah, really delusional. I mean, they'd all be spitting lyrics like you could barely tell what they were saying, just like going for it. You just panic and be like, I've come across from Stratford-upon-Avon. It's been a lovely evening so far. I've had a great time. Do you like my earring?
Traffic was slow on the M5, but we're here now and we're all going to jive.
Poor petrol's got a bit cheaper than it used to be, actually.
Someone give me a high five. I'm feeling alive. Just, can you imagine?
Wow.
So as you can imagine, when I came down to earth, waking up on my friend's apartment floor the next day, I drove back to the Midlands. We live in Stratford-upon-Avon, so it's a short hop up the M5.
Mm.
Stopped at a, and so I've told you this before, Simon, but I have to share this. It just really tickles me. There's a new service station not far from where we are.
Yeah.
And it was perfect for me. So it's like one of these really giant, they're quite popular now, these ideas, these posh farm shops. Service stations used to be all about getting a Ginsters, getting a
2-for-1 chocolate bars.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Naff like items when you fill up with petrol. Mm-hmm. Whereas now it's like, and you'd stop for an organic farm shop with fresh produce.
It's cool, isn't it?
And this place is amazing. I think it's between junction 8 and 9 on the M5 for anyone that's interested in service stations. And
pop it in your top five service stations.
The most interesting thing about this is when you come in, it's almost like some kind of Swedish villain's lair. It's completely
really?
Covered in grass over the top of it.
Like Teletubby
House. Incredible eco-structure, just like Teletubby Land. Did I ever tell you that Poe was my next door neighbour?
No.
Yeah, Poe from Teletubbies.
We really?
Live next door to each other.
Wow.
Yeah, little Chinese lady.
Seriously?
Yeah. Honestly.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Good for her.
And
did she do much up to doing Poe?
I've actually been on the Teletubby
Have you?
Rufus, it was the same, because my friend owned the farm.
Yeah.
And the rabbits that were on the opening thing, they're his pet rabbits. We used to run over.
Seriously?
And Tots TV. Do you remember Tots TV? Yeah, that was on the same place.
No.
With a little donkey.
Jeez.
I've been in the little Tots TV hut.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. Anyway. So the waitress comes over. I mean, very nice coffee, very nice breakfast. And I say to her, oh, isn't it fantastic? Like, they're building these eco stations. I'm really, you know, I've really bought into it.
Yeah,
yeah. Do you know what I mean? I'm a mug. I've bought into all the ideas. It's eco-friendly. I'm having a nice, like, organic breakfast. Like this a lot. Very Instagram-friendly. And
good filterability.
She goes, oh, it wasn't built because it was eco, love. I was like, what? Oh, yeah, no. Oh, the village just kicked off because they didn't want it built. Said they'd ruin the village. I was like, right. So she was like, yes, we just covered it in grass. Can't see it.
Seriously? That's like, amazing.
I was like, what?
That's so... It was an eyesore. So they just popped a load of grass on top of it.
Disappointed. And it's unbelievable. From the village,
can't see it.
Yeah. And I love the idea of, like, there's an ongoing... Because it always happens in villages where solar farms like this. Yeah. There's an ongoing battle for years, isn't it? And there's, like in the village, there'll be, like, a retired accountant, a retired magistrate. They'll all pull together. Yeah. You know, they put up the big battle.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, the big retirement thing. And they win the battle, and they're brilliant. And they're all in the pub one night, you know, a couple of years later. And see, he comes in with a nice panini. Bob, where'd you get that from? Oh, the service station.
Yeah, you know, the new one.
Which one? You know, the one just on the other side of the field. What? Oh, they built it. What? It's just covered in grass, mate.
It's covered in grass. You can't see it from where you are.
There's an 18 pump petrol station.
That
there.
Is fantastic. Fair play to them. That's a genius idea.
Bar Radio.
This is FUBAR. Ollie and Simon here. Of course, we're joined by our dear friend Sebastian, the Boston United's number one fan and hard-hitting journalist, trending across the world over the last 7 days, Sebastian.
As all hard-hitting journalists do. Starting with hashtag Charleston. This is, of course, the shooting of nine black people in a church in South Carolina, mm-hmm. In the States last week. Dylan Roof, the suspected gunman. And I mean, these happen all the time, don't they, in the States?
Well, I mean, not on this scale.
Well, no, I wouldn't say not on this scale. I'd say, the interesting aspect about this is the fact that it seems to have been racially motivated, in that all the victims were black people inside a black church. He'd obviously gone there deliberately to massacre them. There's sort of a racial undertone to this one, to this particular gun incident. I mean, there's so many of them. Mm. And after every single one, Obama comes out and makes a speech like, we can't keep doing this. Something's got to change. And nothing ever does change. Nothing seems to wake them up to the fact that maybe having all these guns out on the streets isn't such a good idea.
It's crazy. My mum spoke to me about this. She seemed to think that he was actually in the... It was in a church, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was in a church, yeah.
And he was in there for a long time.
Yeah.
And he actually is quoted to...
Allegedly
quoted to have said... It was strange. It took me a long time because everyone was just so nice.
Mm.
It took me a while to build up to it because everyone was just being so nice. Isn't that weird?
There was a great photo online this week of him being arrested.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's just one guy walking out, holding him gently. And then it cuts to a black guy being arrested for selling illegal cigarettes. And there's nine men on him on the floor.
Really?
That was trending across the world.
Oh, geez.
I think the interesting thing about this is that America is so obsessed with... terrorism, you know, protecting the United States of America.
The homeland.
You know, protecting, yeah. You know, any threat to the country, you know, they will kill, bomb, torture people.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
But there is this fundamental problem within the country where gun law is approved, this right to defend yourself. But it's not. It's killing people from the inside out. It's ludicrous. It's a paradox of what they should...
But, it's their constitutional right, they'd argue, because it is in the Constitution. I think it's the Fifth Amendment, the right to bear arms. So, you know, it's part of their human rights in America, almost.
And also, if suddenly they banned guns, think how many guns are out there now. How many there are. How many people would hide them?
I know, you can't take that thought process, because if you did that, when they banned...
It's got to come into it.
No, but that's like saying, with slavery, it's like, how many plantations aren't there that will still keep slaves? You have to start somewhere. You have to draw a line somewhere.
Yeah, I mean,
it's like, when's the best time to plant a tree? 30 years ago or now?
Mm. I mean, it would be almost impossible to do it, as you say. What I love about this is the fact that I read a similar incident, I think somewhere in Texas, and their response to this, to stop happening in future, was to allow workers at this place to actually bring in guns. So the response to a madman going around shooting people in this office with a gun is to allow workers to actually arm themselves with guns just in case another...
It's a farce. It sounds like a farcical play.
It is an absolute joke.
It's a bit like, it's capital punishment in a nutshell. They've killed someone. You know what we're going to do? We're going to kill them back.
Well, yeah.
Mentality.
They still do have the death penalty.
Yeah.
Over there.
I like to think of myself as a relatively sort of rational human being.
Mm.
But there have been times in my life where I've stubbed my toe that I wouldn't have wanted access to a gun.
Yeah.
So if I had a gun on me at all times, I guarantee I would have made a mistake by this point.
Mm.
You know that moment where...
What would you have done?
Shot
your coffee table.
Someone's left a Lego out. You start...
What did you do? Shoot the ground?
What I'm saying is like, it doesn't need to be there. That we all have these flash moments of anger.
Mm.
Do you remember that time when you punched the radiator?
Punched the radiator, got a massive bruise, yeah.
What if you'd had a gun in your hand at the time?
I wouldn't have had a gun in
you
my hand.
You might have let one off.
I might have done, because I might have been nervous.
Yeah, and it could have accidentally got someone in the bath next. What I'm saying is, it's just... just take that away and it reduces the risk.
Of course, there's no stat in the world that supports having guns in your country legal as a safer environment. Yeah. And stat supports it.
What I loved when the Olympics was on in London, they actually had to relax the gun laws at airports in Britain to allow the professional shooters coming over here. or they wouldn't have been allowed in because they're against our... We wouldn't have known to hold the shooting contest in London. But that goes to show the cultural difference between here and America. And speaking of cultural differences, also trending, hashtag StopYulin2015.
This is the... dog festival happens in China.
Dog eating festival, just to clarify.
I haven't seen any of this.
Yeah, this is the annual event. 10,000 dogs slaughtered.
For the one event?
For this.
My goodness.
Well, it's China, isn't it? You know, it's got a lot of mouths to feed.
Yeah.
This dog eating festival.
It brings up two arguments, or two interesting points, this.
Mm.
One of them is how brutal the festival is and how cruel it is to animals in general.
They claim it's all the dogs are killed humanely.
Which is not true.
How are they killed?
It gives you an idea here of they boil them alive, drag them behind cars, beat them in the streets. They're kept in cages, 20 dogs in a cage. It's a celebration of the meat, but the way that they're...
It's weird, though, for us, because you've shown us pictures there of dogs in cages of, like, a lovely Alsatian.
Mm.
Now, I see that Alsatian and I picture him... Jeez. I picture them being walked along the pavement with their families in this country.
Yeah.
Now, what if in China they all kept chickens...
Now,
as pets.
And they see us.
What if they all kept those pets and then they showed pictures of us in America with our battery farms?
Well, yeah.
There's people at the moment that are tweeting these photos out, probably while they're sat in a traffic jam with a trailer full of sheep on their left-hand side, not even batting an eyelid, but going, look at dogs in cages.
Well, yeah, this is the cultural thing, isn't it? And a lot of celebrities, this has sort of sparked a lot of famous people been out on Twitter, calling for this festival to be banned and to be outlawed. Good luck with that. In China, try again next year.
Good luck. I know what's gonna stop them, a hashtag.
But I mean, we've been aware of this, and this is, it's just part of their culture, isn't it? Just like eating horses in Europe.
I like to think I can understand, the difference between that there is no difference between, say, killing a cow or a dog. But I must admit, because I live in Western society and I genuinely do have a love of dogs, when I see those photographs, I do find them shocking.
Mm.
And that...
Yeah, it's weird.
That's how it makes me feel.
But it's just how we've been brought up. That's all. If we had a chicken festival in the same way...
I'd be kicking him left, right, and centre.
It wouldn't be the same because we wouldn't just for entertainment, we wouldn't boil chickens alive, would we?
No.
We would never do anything like that.
No, but roast them.
It seems like the battery farms are almost in better conditions than what these dogs are being kept in, so I can understand the brutality. It's all about dignity at the end of the day, respect for the animal, and killing it in the most humane way possible, regardless of what animal it is. I think that's what it just has to come down to, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, and talking of finally respectful and humane behaviour, Top Gear. Hashtag Top Gear. This is, of course, Chris Evans, who categorically 100% ruled himself out of Top Gear. He's the new host of Top Gear.
Did you hear how it happened? I did listen to his radio show when he was talking about it, and he said he ruled himself out of it because he didn't want to get involved in the big hoo-ha, and he didn't want to get involved. He's very good friends with... He was on holiday with James May a few weeks ago with his family, and he spoke to James for 3 days in detail about what's going to happen and the plans and things like that, and he said he just didn't want to get involved in that. And then last week, one of the producers rang him and said, look, would you consider... He texted him actually going, would you consider the Top Gear role?
Wow.
So in the lineup, it's almost 100% that there will be a female host.
Yes.
I would imagine, and by the time people hear this, especially if this show's repeated, it's probably been announced, because he said, we want to start filming in a matter of weeks.
Wow.
So Susie Perry is probably up there as the bookie's favourite.
Rachel Riley, is she in the running?
No, because she's not a car.
No,
I'd watch it.
Or doesn't have a personality.
Hang on a second.
Susie,
we've got Scene Countdown.
Susie Perry already has a 6-month-a-year contract with F1, which would have to be renegotiated, but I think that could be done.
Yeah.
Because they don't have the full rights anyway, so it's highlight stuff.
She'd be good.
But then they've done this 30-second video clip where they've put it to the general public. And if you remember, Richard Hammond and James May they were just, Richard Hammond was just on a local radio station on an evening show somewhere, and he was selected because they liked him. And so that's what they've done. They've asked the general public to, and I think that'd be a really nice addition to have a nobody.
Imagine that going, because at the time it wasn't the biggest in the world, but now Top Gear is the biggest BBC export ever. Yeah, so imagine you're literally doing nothing the day before but love cars. Maybe you're a mechanic, a bit of an outgoing mechanic. Mm. You submit your video online, which is something they're doing, I think.
Yeah.
And then you could be the host of the world's biggest show.
It's the modern day Willy Wonka. It's the golden ticket.
It is a bit, isn't it? It's unbelievable.
Yeah, but
you're
going
to have a go?
No, apparently you're going to have motorbikes as well on it, which they haven't had because Clarkson's very against it. And a special feature on how to park as well. Now they've got a woman presenter as well.
Oh, my God.
Wow, where do you get headlines from?
Just make them up.
My lover's got humour. She's the giggle at a funeral. Knows everybody's disapproval. I should have worshipped her sooner. If the heavens ever did speak, she's the last true mouthpiece. Every Sunday's getting more bleak. A fresh poison each week. We were born sick, you heard them say it. My church offers no absolutes. She tells me worship in the bedroom. Heaven I'll be sent to is when I'm alone with you. I was born sick, but I love it. Command me to be well. Amen. 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 Take me to church, I'll worship like a dog.
Ben says to me, right, he's a bit older than me. Ben's in his sort of mid-40s, runs a very, very successful business. And I kind of look to him for advice a lot of the time. And Ben, a couple of times I've been in predicaments, like social predicaments, let's say, where I've needed a bit of advice. And he said, he goes, Ollie, he goes, we're sort of the we have a predisposition to think that if you're not honest, you will get caught. Yeah. He goes, it's just not true. He goes, people get away with loads of stuff. You just don't hear about it because they've got away with it.
What advice are you asking?
He sounds like
for?
A really positive role model yeah. for life.
But there must be loads of people out
what
there.
Advice what advice are you going to where he's saying, don't worry, you'll get away with it?
Well, I mean, you know, it's just a sort of hypothetical situation, really. But
no, it sounds like you've done something.
Real life advice for hypothetical situations which have happened.
You know, you got yourself in a bit of a predicament. You're going, oh, do I sort of come forward and say the truth, or do I sort of...
And his advice was, don't worry, loads of people get away with stuff.
He just said, he goes, you know, that was easy. It made a very valid point that there's a lot of people out there that have got away with a lot of stuff. That's what I'm trying to say.
Right.
There must be. Yeah. There must be loads of people sat on a beach now.
Well, yeah, I mean...
Can't believe it got away
with
it.
You think how many unsolved crimes, unsolved murders there have been over the years? Absolutely.
But these people, like, you know, some guy's gone, words out, the perfect murder, got that down. Yeah. No one knows how to do it, but he did it.
I've always thought, not always thought, but I've...
So you're always thinking?
No.
This is when BuzzFeed's not working.
Right, late night, had a few beers, and we were all just sat around a table discussing, like, if... Don't judge us.
Right.
If you were going to murder someone, how would you do it? So we were all saying, like, you know, what if you could try and get away with that? What would you... Well, actually, me and my friend Tim were discussing this, and he goes, like, say I rang you and said, Si, best friend, I've murdered someone, heat at the moment, or they did something awful, and I, you know, there was a fight and I accidentally killed him. I need to get rid of the body. Oh. A, would I help? Like, so say if he's your best friend or, like, a family member.
Oh.
Moral dilemma.
You're on your own. I'd say you're on your own.
What if it's your dad?
You're on your own.
What if it's your brother?
You're on your own.
Wow. Don't tell Sev.
Yeah. Don't call me. I need to get back to sleep. I've got work in the morning.
Sev's got important things to worry about. But, like,
okay, let's just say you do say yes. I go, you really owe me one here, mate.
Yeah. What would you do? What would we do?
Next round's yours.
Next round's yours, mate, because this is a big hand.
You owe me a big hand.
What would we do? Like, what would we do in panic? And then, like, what are we going to attempt to do?
No, that's
there?
The first thing I'd say. Don't panic.
Good.
All right. Okay, excellent.
Okay, I'm calm. Yeah. What are you saying next?
Don't panic.
Okay, I'm calm. Go.
Okay, fine. Where's the body?
Okay,
have
scenario.
You done it? What have you
we're
done?
In my flat.
Right.
He's just lying there.
What? How have you killed him?
There was a tussle. I accidentally...
A tussle? It sounds like he died. There was more than a tussle.
Let's say he was a burglar.
Right.
Came at me yeah, and right. I turned the knife back on him and stabbed him.
Oh, right. In that case, you'd go to the police and say it was in self-defence.
Right, okay, fine. He came round and goes,
you haven't thought about this murder at all, have you?
Okay, I'll set the scenario.
Okay.
You come home, Hayley's in bed with the burglar.
What?
Yeah. So she's having a wicked way, and then she comes in. She's like, "Oh yeah, yeah. Oh no, burglar, Simon burglar." You'd be like, "Yeah, bloody bum burglar."
Oh god. This is taking a turn.
Now he has put a lot of thought into it,
right? And so you're going
realistic.
Lost my head and I've just stabbed him.
So now you know your flat. He's run out,
yeah,
and he's run the wrong way. He's not gone, because your flats are confusing, right? He's gone right into the living room, which is a closed-off area. Hayley, you're going, right, shut the door. You go, you stay there.
Yeah.
Right, we'll have this conversation later. Shut the door. You go into the lounge. He's there. He's just got a flower pot covering his semi-erect penis.
Oh, you have got those flower pots, right? Haven't you?
Okay. And you are just so angry that you grab that flower pot and you bang him over the head and he's dead.
Right, okay, fine.
Right, so that's the scenario.
Hardly any blood. That we'll clear that up later. What are we going to do? I rang you, Ollie. I've done this thing. You've told me to come down. What's your plan?
Right, firstly, I come round and I open the door and I go...
You'd come in?
Yeah, I come round.
Okay.
And I come in, I open the door and go, Hayley, what have you done? You've got us in a right... We're in a right pickle here, haven't we? And she's like, I'm sorry, you're not
never,
sorry.
Never not has sorry. The word pickle meant more. Yeah. than this.
Right.
Never has the word pickle been understated.
So I'm like, no, don't come. We've got to sort this out. You stay in there.
Right.
Come
okay.
in. You're in there.
I've got my head in my hands. What are we going to do?
First thing I'll go, don't panic.
Right, okay.
Again.
You're all right. Don't right. panic, mate.
So right. now what are we going to do? Get
okay,
to this.
Right. So bodies on the floor.
Yeah.
Okay. Quick one. Does anyone know any pig farmers?
Pig
this
farmers.
Is no this is this right. is a good idea any, like this,
got,
I like this
I've got a friend actually I do I've got a friend that's got a small farm
yeah.
with some rare breed pigs
yeah.
it's out in the middle of nowhere
right
so okay right so the problem is we've got to get the body from the
flat to the car.
Into the car so what I'd say what we do is we take the bottom of the sofa out
yeah.
put them in there and then make it look like we're moving house.
Right.
So we've got him in the okay. sofa.
In the middle of the night.
Good idea. This is yeah, like yeah, Breaking yeah. Bad, this is.
So, no, yeah,
this.
Yeah. So he's in the sofa.
To me.
You get the sofa
you.
In the back of the car. So people are just like, what's that, Simon? Moving house, mate. Yeah,
Joe. I'll just get rid of this sofa.
Moving
don't like it anymore.
Around. We drive to my friend's farm. I knock on his door. I go, look, we're in a pickle. I said, I don't want to have to discuss this, but I just.
I just need access to your pigs.
I need access to the
another
pigs.
Dead body again, Ollie.
And,
third one this week. Oh, the old sofa tree again.
You're going to have to get rid of these sofas. I've been piling up out the back.
How long did your other mate get in jail?
We've both got ski gloves on because you can't touch anything, can you? Don't
no.
want you.
Oh, no, no, yeah. no, no.
Good job you bought those ski gloves the other day.
So we're warm. We're warm and we've got, so it's practical. Yeah. And then again, throw them in with the pigs.
Throw them in with the pigs. Pigs
because
will eat anything.
Pigs will eat anything and they can digest bone and everything, can't they? They eat a whole lot.
Yeah. That's a great idea.
Really
the thing,
great
what,
idea.
The thing is, though, is that what
almost
would
too good
realistically, what would happen is we're there, throw them in. Oh, mate, I can't believe this. You go, I can't believe this. Probably having a cigarette because yeah. things. And then, like, we sit there for a few hours and they're sort of like, you're like, come on.
Yeah.
Like, and
oh,
like,
because no,
there's
grim.
A farm shop there as well.
Right.
So, sun starts coming up. You know, fucking hell. Like, one of them's having a, like one of them's got the foot. One of them's got like the foot in his mouth at this point. The other's got like a hand like, on one side of the pen, and like
just so
like
awful.
The fam, like but like people are turning up for the like for the farm shop in the morning. You're going, can you? That one's just with a hand out of its mouth, and we're just having to like stand by the field to sort of shimmy people off. It's like kid, the kid's like, mum, pig, fuck off, mate. Mummy, pig, just fuck in that fucking truck football. There you go. Fuck off, have a cigarette. Do you know yeah. what I mean? That's where
this is so dark. I'm always feeling uncomfortable.
That's where it would come undone.
Yeah.
You say that, but I think what we've really overlooked here is nobody has cleaned up the flower pot that was broken. There is soil all over that
that's
floor.
True. Well, what would you do, Seb?
In terms of how
in
would
that
I cover that
scenario,
up?
In that scenario, what would you do?
Oh, no, I quite like acid bath, probably.
Where are you getting the acid
bath?
Where are you getting the ski gloves from?
Well, no,
we've used gear that we've got. We've used sofa ski gloves and my friend's
pigs. You just happen to be moving out in the middle of the night.
No, that's our cover story.
Simon, that's how good it is.
I know.
We actually thought we were moving out.
Yeah. It's not good.
Simply moving out.
Nobody does that in the middle of the night.
No, but no one's going to go, oh, you know, dopey fucking Simon from next door. He's clearly murdered someone because he's moving his...
Yeah,
you know,
if I'm leaving the flat at 1 a.m. with the sofa, no one is going, no, there's definitely a dead body in that
this
sofa.
This is the guy that spends his weekends making jam.
Yeah, and what happens when they trace it back?
Out of what?
What happens when they trace the fact that this guy was sleeping with Hayley?
No, no one
still
knows.
Still in shock
no,
about
no,
it.
One no one knows about this.
No one knows.
Oh, no one conveniently knows about it.
No. First time it happens. First time it happens.
Seb, it's the
pun. Oh, yeah. Oh, in that case, you got it cracked.
It's a bit early in the midnight hour for me to go through all the things that I want to be. I don't believe in everything I see. You know I'm blind, so why do you disagree? Time keeps rolling by. All I want.
This is Foo Bar. Ollie and Simon here as we take a look back at the last 7 days on planet Earth. I'm going to talk about that new film, John Wick.
Oh, yeah.
That I went to see.
Mm.
Just out of interest, I just saw pop up on my computer. I do quite a lot of voiceover work away from the station. I don't know if anyone knows much about it, but the way it works generally, you have to audition a lot, even if you're relatively well known in the voiceover world.
Yeah.
You send an audition, and one of the companies that I've worked for in the past always send me email updates, but they also have a talent agency as well. And an email's just come through, completely unrelated, but I'm somehow on this mailing list still. It said, car TV advert casting, right? Looking for attractive men and women.
Well, hang on. For a voiceover?
No.
Oh, sorry.
They've got a talent agency as well.
So for attractive men and women. It sounds a bit brutal, doesn't it, though? It's just a bit...
It's quite more... subjective, though, isn't it?
It is subjective, but it's also... It does sound shallow, but... I suppose TV advertising, it has a expectation to live up to in terms of the presentation of the people on there.
But I wonder if you...
Bad as that sounds, it's just you can't get away from that. That's how it is.
I wonder how many people that were unattractive would deem themselves attractive. That's the interesting... Your self-awareness.
Wasn't there an ad campaign recently? It went viral online of... buildings set up. It was a psychological experiment, and there was actually an advertising came off the back of it. Like it was for the sake of marketing, but the challenge was there was two entrances to the same building, and it just said above it, "Do you think you're attractive?" And above one door it said yes, but above one door it said no, and people would just choose which door they walked through.
And majority of who went through no.
Said no. Yeah, it's mad. And you're watching it, sort of thinking, well...
You're a good-looking girl.
Yeah, like, this is... It's crazy what people think of themselves. And you shouldn't be made to feel anything, really. You should just... As long as you're happy, regardless of what you look or feel like, it should just be...
So I went to see this John Wick film, and telling you about how it made me feel, it made me want to kill people.
That's did it actually?
First thing.
What, do you mean in an angry way, or do you mean for a living, like James Bond?
No, just in an angry way, really.
That's reassuring to hear.
It's sort of like...
If we were having this conversation in America, I'd be really worried right
now. I was expecting nothing, and it gave me a lot more than I was expecting. The premise of the film is an retired assassin, Keanu Reeves. Okay,
hello.
Perfect casting here for... you know, hasn't done much for a while.
He hasn't, no.
Do you know what I mean? And he was in The Matrix. Yeah. So it feels like he was really good at what he did, and he's making a comeback.
Yeah.
And the story is he works for a Russian mobster, big billionaire mobster. He gives him one big final job when Keanu Reeves says he wants to retire because he's fallen in love with someone.
Classic.
Which is like to kill all his enemies. Keanu just does it because he's so good.
Yeah.
And then he's granted retirement, falls in love with a woman, settles down. She gets terminal cancer.
Oh, no.
That's it. She dies. Few days later in the post, a puppy arrives with a letter from her saying... You need to know that you can love again.
Jeez.
Little puppy.
That's heavy, that.
Yeah, the beginning of the film is heavy. Little puppy.
She's probably referring to future relationship, not the dog.
Yeah. Like you need to be able to love this dog in order to know that you can love again.
All right, got you.
So cue the sort of scenes of him looking after the dog and feeding it. And it's
montage,
actually quite,
lovely montage.
Lovely montage. It's actually quite cute. And if anybody knows Lily Allen's younger brother, Alfie Allen, who plays Meek in Game of Thrones at the moment, he plays the Russian mobster's son.
Right.
So through a serendipitous sort of turn of events, he ends up carjacking Keanu Reeves. Okay.
Like deliberately?
Yeah.
Right.
Not because it's Keanu Reeves, just bumps into him, tries to steal his car.
Oh, right.
All right. There's a bit more to it than that.
Yeah.
And ends up killing
the dog.
The dog.
No.
And if anything's going to bring an assassin.
He's just learnt to love it again.
If anything's going to bring an assassin back out of retirement, it's the killing of a dog.
I bet.
And it is like Taken.
Really?
That moment where she's under the bed and he picks up the phone and he says, I don't know who you are, but I have a particular set of skills and I will find you.
I will hunt you down.
And you know at that point...
And I will kill you.
Yeah, that was better.
Yes.
You know, at that point, you go, brilliant.
Yeah, here we go.
Kill him.
Here
kill
we
them
go.
All.
And boy, does he go. Because there is nothing more dangerous than a trained assassin with no self-preservation.
Yeah, a trained assassin that doesn't mind dying.
Oh,
Jesus. I mean, it's going to go some, isn't it?
There's a brilliant moment in the film where he comes in, he grabs a guy by the neck like a bouncer and holds him to the floor, and he's got a gun to his head. And then Alfie Allen is within shot. Rather than shoot him, he just looks Alfie in the eye and shoots this guy that he's holding in the head, as if to say, before I kill you, I will look you in the eye. Like a cat playing with a mouse.
Yeah, yeah. That is scary, isn't it?
Brilliant.
And it made you want to kill someone?
It's funny, really. The only reason I watched it is because I had a really good review online.
Yeah, but you have this weird rule, don't you?
Yeah, Internet Movie Database, it has to be above a 6.7, ideally a 7+, for me to watch it. It's a really clever rule because it just saves me the time of ever watching a bad film.
There must be some good films below that. There must be.
Not that I've really experimented and I've pushed the boundaries a bit, but a 6.7 is as low as I go.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Anything below
Who
that.
Decides? Is it just the public?
Yeah, user reviews.
Right, okay.
Just like TripAdvisor.
Okay.
Another really high one on there is The Imitation Game, which is quite apt this week because it was Alan Turing.
He was nominated for an Oscar, wasn't he, Benedict Cumberbatch?
Yeah. Alan Turing's birthday was this week. Born in 1912. And this is the guy that Benedict Cumberbatch played in The Imitation Game. Mm-hmm. And I never really realised the full extent. My dad took me to Bletchley Park quite a few times as a kid. Mm. I think my dad was just really inspired by it and wanted me to be as well. I remember going there and seeing the Enigma Machine and seeing Hut 8, where Alan Turing...
Hut 8 doesn't sound prestigious, does it? Hut 8 sounds like somewhere where the local scout group go and hang out. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's a shame it wasn't like Hogwarts.
Yeah, just go around the corner just below, and then just Hut 8 at the bottom.
It's a shame there wasn't houses like there was at Hogwarts. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Alan Turing, part of the Slytherin gang.
Yeah, yeah.
He would have been Gryffindor, wouldn't he? Yeah. Definitely a Gryffindor member. And they say that he shortened the war. Like, I don't know if there's anyone else really in history that could claim to have saved this many people, because they're saying could have shortened the war by 2 to 4 years. And just think of the amount of lives that saved, because he cracked the code. So, right, this guy was an ultra marathon runner. He was he was a mathematical genius. He was a good guy. He was a hard worker. He was, at the base of it, I guess, patriotic as well.
Do you know what? I don't know whether we can say that, because I guess if he was distracted by the game of cracking the code, he might have been really patriotic.
It could have been a selfish pursuit.
That makes it sound like it's horrible, but it's that classic thing is no selfless good deed. You maybe run a marathon and raise £10,000 for charity, makes you feel really good, and the byproduct is you've done a great thing for a good cause.
And you're pocketing a couple of grand of it.
But do you know what I mean? Like, it could be, if he was so obsessed with cracking the game and figuring it out, it's like, actually, to tie in with Benedict Cumberbatch, Sherlock Holmes is a great example of this. He makes a big point throughout. Watson keeps trying to make him a hero and herald him a hero. And he's like, I'm not a hero. There is no goodies and the baddies. I like playing the game and figuring it out.
It's as simple as
that. The byproduct is that I save lives and things, and that he does understand right from wrong, but he's obsessed with playing the game. And that could be similar for him, couldn't it? For Jerry.
Regardless of whether he was just playing the game or whether he was doing it selflessly, our reaction to him as a society at that time just blows my mind.
So, it makes me feel sick.
So you go,
it really does.
So imagine this, right? He's a legendary ultra runner.
Yep.
He goes in, he saves the day, he shortens the war by 2 and a bit years, cracks the code, he works tirelessly day and night. And then war dies down. Someone goes, you into men? What? You fancy men? Lock him up.
Yeah.
What? Lock him up. He's one of those gays.
It's bonkers, isn't it? Absolutely mental. Because you would have thought that back in a generation or in a day where people thought that if you were homosexual, you're somehow wrong in some way, that they didn't necessarily know them or never tried to know them. Here's someone who is literally heralded amongst the elite as a hero and who they know and can trust to be an ambassador for Britain, yet they're still willing
to just absolutely wipe a clean slate on all that and say, no, load of bollocks, he's gay, don't want to be associated with him. And here's a good question. If he was on the verge of cracking the enigma, and they're like, oh, you know that Turing guy down in, you know, Hut 8? He's onto something at the moment. He could really do, he could blow this thing up to pieces. I've heard he's gay, though, so we might let him go before he's finished. Would they have?
No, I think we're so selfish. I think if we caught him and given it to someone a cheeky blozzer around the back of Hut 8... We would have kept our mouths shut.
Yeah.
And then once he cracked we would have thrown him away because we're that selfish and that big, that small-minded as a nation.
So disgusting. You heard
that Alan Turing cracking the code. Oh, I've only heard there's one crack he likes.
Yeah, yeah.
No, come on. Are we really...
It makes me sick. I mean,
this is the joke, right? So it got to...
And he killed himself, didn't he?
Yeah, took cyanide.
Oh, God.
And right, and so the Queen...
Was that because of the social pressure and anxiety surrounding his sexuality? Is that what it was?
Well, there's speculation. I mean, what it says, you know, around his sort of thing is that it could have been accidental poisoning. But he was a bright guy. Yeah. I think he knows what cyanide does. Mm. And it was 2013 when the Queen came out and pardoned him. And actually, do you know what, at that point, I think that's embarrassing.
Yeah, 2013.
Don't. You've blown it. Yeah. You've absolutely blown it.
Mm. Well, so it wasn't pardoned in 2009. We hadn't quite forgiven him. But when we got to 2013, we thought, now's the time to forgive him. It makes no sense whatsoever.
I just think that we're going to look back in 100 years' time.
But in a sort of a weird roundabout way, it's nice that again, he's had this second coming of appreciation because of the film. And I like how art can do that. Whether it's a book or a painting or a film or a song, it can re-educate a generation and really let them appreciate him. There'll be loads of people that never heard of Alan before. And because of this, they really appreciate what he does and actually look down on government and society then for how they condemned him.
It's never going to change anything.
Won't change anything. Of course it won't. But it's still, it's a bizarre story, a romantic one, but a tragic end.
I haven't actually seen the film.
I haven't yet either.
Very good things about
it. But it's been really, it's highly regarded.
Tame my flesh fix my eyes, a tethered mind freed from the lies. Now kneel down, wait for now. I'll kneel down, know my ground. Woo!
Simon here with you as we look back at the last 7 days on planet Earth. Big week for me this week, since it's my birthday. Hoping for a dishwasher.
How do you feel about turning 28?
Pretty good, actually.
Yeah?
I am...
A couple of years till 30, innit? You all right?
I sat down with a family friend the other day, a friend's dad, and we were at a like a little mini festival barbecue for my friend Zoe's birthday. Put like a teepee up outside in the field behind the house and had like a barbecue and a bonfire, and we all sat around. It was a really, really nice evening. It was a really, really sort of beautiful sunset, and I sat down on the floor with David and we had a roll up.
Right. Just, you don't smoke?
Yeah, but really occasionally I'll have a roll up. Like if okay. I go away on the motorbike or something, there's something really tranquil about just sitting there and just having a roll up. It's a real treat for me.
Right, okay.
And David had one too, and so it was just suddenly had this really, really sort of sincere conversation. We were sort of away from the party. We just sat on our own having a beer, and we were talking about my birthday, and he said 28, he's in his late 50s, 60s now. He's a farmer. And he said, 28 was the best year of my life. He said, it was the hell of a year.
Mm. Why?
He said, I was still young and foolish enough to have fun.
Yeah.
But I was old enough not to take any shit.
I guess so. That can't be defined to just 1 year of your life, though. Surely that's
right, it's just what he said, though. And I thought, actually, it's quite a good point. Like, you're together enough and you've learned enough not to take any shit off anyone.
Some people are.
But yet you're still young, dumb and full of fun.
I guess so. I think I've never really... I've always been a bit too sensible and a bit too old for my age. So even going back to school,
I think it doesn't help that you went from looking like a lesbian dinner lady until the age of...
Well, hang on. What I mean, that's not...
I've seen your school photos.
Yeah, and
you didn't have a neck.
Well, so what?
You know, until the age of 19.
Yeah, but then
you just suddenly look like a 40-year-old man.
Well,
like
no,
there was no in between.
That is a load of crap.
There's no in between.
Yeah, but what I look like got to do with any of, with how I feel about it?
Well, you're looking in the mirror every day. Yeah, of course what you look like reflects how you act, doesn't it?
Yeah, but at 14, 15 and younger even, I wasn't thinking I look old.
Subconscious though, isn't it?
No, this is ridiculous. You're just trying to wind me up. I was always thinking way too sensibly, way too... beyond my... Like, I think everything through really strategically. Even points in my life... Normally, parents are trying to be like, you know, you need to knuckle down now, or you need to stop doing that and do this, or you need to start thinking more sensibly about that. I'm not making this up. I've genuinely had serious conversations where my parents have sat me down and going, you need to loosen up more.
You need to you need to go and have some fun. You need to stop overthinking.
Here are some recreational drugs. Just go and have some fun.
No, literally, they'd be like, you need to stop overthinking and just go and have fun. However old I was at the time.
But you think that happened.
Too sensible.
I feel like that, you know, like a few weeks ago, I went and got my ear pierced. I'd never had a piercing. And I suddenly thought, I'm 28. Why not? You know, I love the idea of.
But it's not because.
Who was the celebrity that was in their 70s and just went and got a tattoo? Because they thought, oh, why not?
Oh, I don't know.
Is it Helen Mirren?
Could be, yeah. I believe that. Yeah, but I understand and embrace that. And no part of me is going, oh, that's ridiculous. Getting a tattoo or getting a piercing is like silly, because I'm for those things. I just, nothing excites me or what makes me want to do it. I'm just not, you know, I'd get a tattoo if I had a reason to. I'd get a piercing if I wanted it. Nothing stopped me. No one tell me I can't, but I just, nothing about me wants or cares.
I don't
about
know
having
if
it.
Anyone listening is sort of around the age of sort of turning 30. And I can't really speak for anything beyond that. You know, the midlife crisis sort of age, or the marriage, or the things like that. But it does feel like a transitional age. Like, there are big life decisions to make at this point. You know, the idea of whether.
Do you feel the burning pressure, though, to do those?
I don't feel the burning pressure, but I definitely had a couple of moments a few weeks ago when, because a couple of my friends are having children now. And that makes me think. What? That's a big thing, isn't it? Like, because that is a fork in the road, isn't it? You go one way, you got a life of fun, holidays.
Yeah.
Extra cash. Do you know what? Against the sort of fulfillment, you know, of having a child, sleep deprivation, no money, heartache and stress.
Pros and cons to both. Not there. It's one of those things.
All of my friends say to me, though, they always say to me, my friends that I never thought would have children, they say, it's just the best thing that's ever happened to me. I feel like I have a sense of purpose, like I've never had before in my life.
I think you'd have the greatest sense of purpose ever, more than any job could, I think.
All I feel, though, is like that I'd buy into that a bit more if, like, it was like a gap year. They've had a kid for a year. Do you know what I mean? They came out the other side of it. Yes, the best. Like, if you could take the child off them now without the emotional loss of the child, that's when I'd like to go. Because would they then go, yeah, it was a brilliant year. I just felt so.
Yeah, but you'd always know you were taking it back.
I am quite enjoying having my Saturday evenings free. That's an interesting. No one's ever going to turn around and go, no matter how shitty their child is, they're never going to turn around and go, I mean, yeah, I don't have as much free time as I used to. And there is a lot of sleep deprivation, but. Yeah, actually, no, I would get rid of it. No one's going to say that. They're always going to, because you're reassuring yourself in a way.
I don't know. I think it's when it's yours. No one can describe that feeling to you until you're in the situation. When it's yours, it's your child.
You made it.
It's your full responsibility to nurture something from literally nothing to something with a life ahead of it. I mean, that is a massive responsibility. I think it would give you the sense of purpose that no job maybe could.
I remember getting the Tracy Island Lego set when I was a kid.
Right.
It took me weeks.
Yeah.
And that sense of accomplishment that I'd made it at the end.
Is that the same?
Was up there.
But you knew it'd finish and be done with an end.
Oh, I sold it, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, all you've got is growing older. It will grow older, so it'll be more dependent, but you'll always say, even when you're 80 and the kid is 35, 40, you've still got them the obligation to perhaps be there to pass on advice or look after grandkids or whatever. You know, it's a huge commitment, but that purpose might sound scary, but maybe it's incredible.
Terrifying.
It's terrifying now. I mean, I can't think of anything worse right now.
Anyway, I just wanted to share my worries about life on the radio show this week. We take a look back at the last 7 days on planet Earth. Some great things have been trending across the world. We've already spoken today about Top Gear, about the dogs over in Yulin, and of course the Charleston shooting as well. Mm-hmm. More on the way next.
And I've been waiting. way you've been. It's all been a pack of lies. And I can feel it coming in the air tonight. Oh Lord. Well, I've been waiting for this moment for all my life. Oh Lord.
This is FUBAR. Ollie and Simon here with you. We're always joined by our good friend Seb Noble, the newsreader. And we take a look back at the last 7 days on planet Earth.
One of the biggest TV shows at the around at the moment, I've really got into this, The Island with Bear Grylls. Have you seen any of this, guys?
I've only seen it via Gogglebox.
Yeah, okay. Exactly the same. Yeah. I saw the clip of them
best
killing...
Best way to keep up with it, isn't it, Gogglebox?
Killing the pig.
The girls killing the pig.
That's exactly
and
it, yeah.
It was pretty harrowing.
It was
actually
difficult to watch, wasn't it?
They did this show last year and it was just a group of guys on an island. This year, they've got a guys' island and a girls' island. So on Wednesday night, they show an hour of the guys. Thursday night, they show an hour of the girls. And it just that's
what. How does it work? Do they get voted off?
No. There's no like, you know, for the texting to vote or like out in deck, like shoving some snakes down the throat. It's just absolutely. It's just in its purest form, leaving them to it. That is absolutely it. And even because at first I thought, oh yeah, there's gonna be like cameramen sleeping in lovely tents with Kit Kat bars all day long. No, they, of the tribes as they're known, I guess, they have cameramen
but are also surviving.
Yeah, they have to
really
they pass the cameras between them and they film everything themselves and that's it. No food, nothing, absolutely nothing at all.
I watched the girls the other day. And it did feel a bit generated because they walked through like the jungle area on the island and they spotted a pig.
Just happened to come across a pig.
Happened to come across a pig that was basking.
Well, they're quite small, these islands, actually. But they are. One thing that Bear Grylls says is that both of the islands were picked due to the fact that they could provide natural food and water sources, but they would have to hunt and go above and beyond to be able to source it. It wouldn't just be there. It wouldn't be like a farm.
It just happened to come across a pig and a sachet of applesauce.
Unbelievable.
Oh my God, look. There's a barbecue with a gas canister over it.
This
look
pig.
Look what the tide brought in.
This pig was.
Oh, no mustard this week.
This pig was sunbathing.
Is that an Ocado van? Look what the tide brought in. Is he on a shopping?
These people are sunbathing, and they managed to jump it. Yeah. And to be fair, I thought there's no way they're catching this. Mm. One of the girls jumps on top of the pig, and it's like,
yeah.
Oh, it's an awful noise. Oh, that is. Wasn't
there it? Is no, that's like, such a harrowing awful, noise, yeah. isn't it? Mm. A pig.
Really I had to put down my bacon sandwich,
and then they had to slit its throat.
Yeah,
and I did feel a pang actually when I watched
a
that.
What sorry
a pang
a pang
yeah like a pang
a
of
pain you looked
emotion.
A pain there
I felt like I felt bad for the pig.
Did you? You're a meat eater, could you do it? Could you do that? So here you go, Ollie, could you slit? Because here's here, for example on the show the girls, for example, there's less killers amongst them. So in the guys' camp they have killed several things. We've seen them kill caimans, jump on the back of crocodiles and kill them, putting the knife in the head. We've seen them kill wow. fish. We've seen them kill lizards and snakes, chopping heads off. But in the girls' camp, we've only seen this one girl do it each time. Now, say if she gets ill and they, you know, because they it is a TV show at the end of the day. If someone gets really seriously ill, they kind of evacuate them. Mm. But say if she goes, there's no natural killer. Now, say if you're there and so far this one person's been killing everything and now you've only got like a pig to eat every 3 days. You're running on empty every day. You should consume about 2,000 calories a day. They're eating about 200 a day.
Oh, my God.
But when they find a pig, that's 10,000 calories to share between them. Could you slit its throat?
Yeah, I think I could, but I feel really bad.
I'm not saying you should enjoy it, but could you do it?
I could do it, but I couldn't look it in the eye.
Well, you've got to look at it because you've got to do a good job because you want to be as humane as possible. You'd have to really concentrate and
I think what I'd
do
have,
it properly.
What I'd have to do, do you remember was it Of Mice and Men, the book?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where he takes, what's his name? The dull one.
Lenny.
Lenny. He takes Lenny off onto the hill and makes him look at a... Mm-hmm. Sunrise. I think what I'd do if it was like what do pigs eat?
Anything. Human remains based on last week's show.
Like I get a bit of cabbage.
Yeah.
And I go, ooh.
Surely you'd be eating the cabbage yourself, wouldn't you, if you're on this island?
Like, hey,
starving.
Henry. Actually, don't name it.
Don't
never
name it. Never name them.
So be like, hey.
Well, they did name these two. They named them Sage and Onion. And already trending on Twitter was hashtag Sage and Onion.
Oh, that's making me hungry.
And that was enough for Hayley, my girlfriend, to cry when they killed the pig.
God. I'd put a big wedge of cabbage down or whatever it was into. Yeah. And then once it started tucking into it, I'd smack it over the head with a stone.
Aww,
and I'd
nice.
Go, he died doing what he loved.
Yeah. I guess that's a humane way to do it, but would it kill it straight away? You'd have to be really confident that you were going to do the deed.
I think the big thing here is it's rather about killing animals. It's like survival, right? Mm. So you are in a plane crash, mm-hmm. right? You're flying to Benidorm.
Right.
Hold on. The pilots pass out.
I think some people might prefer to be in the plane crash.
The pilots pass out. Plane keeps going for hours. Just straight
line. Yeah,
you
have to go for a long way away from Benidorm to get somewhere.
You know, they put a lot of fuel on. Okay. So it was a rough term flight to Birmingham. So plenty of fuel.
Fine.
Keeps going. Eventually, and the worst thing is you know, you're sat on this plane and you know, can't get into the cockpit because of that, you know. Yeah, knocking on the door, nothing.
Nothing.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you know you're going down, right? Out into the Pacific Ocean.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? You know, you got 10 hours, so you're like, we might as well watch an in flight movie.
Got to kill some time before we plummet to our death.
You know but isn't that mad? Like, knowing the plane was going down, everyone knows, but you got 10 hours to kill.
Yeah.
No Wi Fi signal.
Bit annoying.
No phone signal. The weird thing is, you are going to have to kill time a bit.
Yeah.
It's not like, you know, in the film, it's like, you imagine someone they just go
for 10 hours
after like 2 hours. that's the weird thing. So you'd have to make light conversation.
Yeah,
where are you from?
Hmm? You're dead right.
My name's Debbie. I'm from Birmingham. What do you do? I'm an accountant.
What did you do?
Isn't that mad though? Isn't that weird to think that social situation?
What did you do before this happened?
Do you imagine saying to Hayley, it's like, this is it.
Yeah. Be awful, wouldn't it? Harrowing.
What conversation would you have?
Do you know what? I'd still be so optimistic, actually. My gut reaction.
No, but the plane. You're no. in The Pacific Ocean, there's no land for thousands of miles.
I know, but that's not going to get me anywhere, is it? If there's a one in a billion chance...
No, it's literally not going to get you anywhere. You're dying.
If there's a one in a billion chance, you're still going to hold on to the hope that you're going to be able to get out of the situation. You'd be doing everything you can.
I think you would, yeah. It's survival instinct.
Every single avenue. This is just what this show is teaching
exactly.
us. Like, absolutely anything it takes. You wouldn't sit there and just watch an in-flight mode. You wouldn't just reminisce about the good times. You would absolutely try and think of absolutely anything to try and get out of it.
Of course you would.
Eventually, plane goes down. You see the... I mean, it's not a nose
dive. I have survived, haven't I?
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Hold on, yeah, but you haven't heard this. So, plane goes down. So it's not a nose dive. It's like you hit the ocean, the plane breaks up. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The impact, it's killed the majority of the people.
Okay.
All right? You've got
If you knew this plane was going down, wouldn't you be able to sort of get the doors open, ready, and then you'd all jump before the plane?
No, anti-terrorist doors, you can't get through into the cockpit.
No, but can't you actually get out the normal doors?
The plane's crashed.
There's got to be an emergency exit.
It's literally the hull smashed into pieces.
Right, okay.
Right. Most of the people have died. You've got quite a thick head. You've survived, okay?
Great.
Hayley, now she's dead.
She hasn't got a very thick head.
Oh, man, this is depressing
but
for me.
But you've got the thing is, she's a girl. She's quite buoyant.
Oh, my.
I know.
And what are you saying?
What I'm saying is, it is sad. It is sad that she's gone. I'm saying it is sad.
Are you saying when I float on my dead girlfriend?
That's what happens. Do you know what I mean?
No, it isn't. That would never happen. No one floats like that.
You're clinging on to her.
Oh, this is so depressing.
Next day, you wash up on an island.
Okay.
Seb, same thing's happened to you. You don't have a girlfriend. You just clinged on to a large woman.
Thank you. You're saying Hayley's a large woman?
No, I'm definitely not saying that. And you wash up on an island. How do you think you'd survive? Day one, what are you doing? Day one,
right, mate.
You've woken up and you're going...
Yep.
You're
Rose
in the
Hayley.
Middle of nowhere.
Well, so to speak.
I would... I know what the first thing I'd do. What would yours be?
So there's
what would yours be, Seb?
Yeah, you've probably got to eat the other person, haven't you?
No, but what's the first thing you do? You can't just eat and start eating.
No, you let go of Hayley. You lost her in the night. You've just washed up. There's no one on the beach.
Fine, Hayley's gone.
She's gone. She's done a bit.
Are there other survivors on there?
No, just...
Well, Veronica, the accountant, you could have saved her. She's so dull, you let her go.
Right. Are there other people on there?
Help, Seb! Sorry, I can't hear you, love. What are you saying?
You found a piece of raft, and like in Titanic, she was Jack. Yeah. There was room for both of you, but you... Okay.
Are there other people alive on there?
No, that's it. It's just you. Just you on this island, that's it.
I know the first thing I'd do. What would you do?
I don't know. What?
I want to know what you'd do first.
Just really panic.
No. No.
Surely that's the first thing. Did you? I've never heard that. Have you not seen all the films? Don't panic. That's the first thing.
Yeah, so don't panic. Now what are you going to do?
Go on.
Well, you've had a little panic. Now
right,
you calm
so you've been like that one on the plane. You've gone, 3 hours later. Okay, so the panic's over now.
Probably, explore my surroundings.
Right?
No, I think that's dangerous. I think if I've washed up on a beach, that's the best place to be already. I don't want to go too far into the island. I would try and make a fire. First thing, try and make a fire. Because any water I have, I'm going to have to boil it first. The root of everything is the fire. Heat at night, light, and boiling water. First thing, straight away, make a fire.
How are you making that fire?
Well, kindling, isn't it?
You're missing a massive trick. You've got glasses on.
Yeah, well, that could work, actually.
Use that, too.
This happened in the island, actually. This is one of the best moments. So they've taken all of these different people from different walks of life. They go to start a fire, and they're there for hours with what looks like a bow and arrow-style bow. They found some string, because there's loads of pollution that's come out of the sea. They find some string. They tie it to a bit of kindling, and they're there, like soaring away. They're getting some smoke, but nothing really substantial. Then the IT consultant comes along with his big, like, you know, furniture-faced glasses...
Mm.
He holds them up to the sun above the kindling, and then it starts, and they made a fire based from his glasses.
Clever stuff.
Is that incredible?
Final thing.
Mm.
Right, so you have made fire.
Yeah.
You've done really well, Simon. Seb's, he's dead.
Mm.
He died.
Not so right. You'd, out of the three of us, I think Seb would be the first to go.
He'd cried so much, he just dehydrated.
He just disintegrated.
3 hours, that's it. So Seb's...
He's just agreeing with us.
He's dead.
Yeah.
He's dead. And in a way, it's like, you know, when they say, you know, on the hospital programs, when they're like on the trolley and they're going, stay with us. And the relatives holding the hand, they're going, don't worry, he's a fighter. Mm. Seb's not a fighter.
I just got in a blaze of asphyxiated glory, I think.
That's it.
Just bamboo shoot round your neck.
Yeah, and I know.
Just
if you're going to go.
Cocking hand.
If you're going to go. No one's going to find me, are they?
I love the idea of 2 minutes later, just like steel.
It's really funny, you did look around the other side of the island and it backs onto a lovely coastline. with a port. Yeah,
there's Caribbean steel drums and couples having drinks on the thing. Yeah. And a guy walks out.
Five-star hotel.
Yeah, it's like a wedding party and they come out to the ceremony and his dead body's just there with a rope round it.
He's panicked so
he's
early.
Been there an hour. He's washed up an hour ago. You're there boiling your water.
That's so good. Oh, Seb.
Right, Seb's dead.
Yeah.
Okay, he panicked, all right? He panicked. He washed up in Barbados and panicked. He's dead, all right? Fine. That's what happens if you panic. Simon, you're on the beach. You've got some five. You've managed to light it with your spectacles.
Yep.
It's the first time in your life. It was a bonus wearing glasses.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no food. You've literally rummaged around for ages. You know that you've got to eat, okay? So it's like day four by this point.
Yep.
You're emaciated. Do you know what I mean? You've got water, but you are...
Figure's better than it's ever been.
You need food. Mm. Like, you need food quickly. Oh, yeah. Okay. Hayley washes up.
All right. 4 days later.
4 days later.
Jeez.
Okay. So, and obviously you are upset.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? You're upset.
Of course I am, yeah. I don't think about this, actually. I feel a bit awful doing this.
Well, this is the
dilemma.
Simon,
sick.
This is the dilemma,
I feel a bit
right?
Sick. But you're dead
so,
like me.
So, but one thing is, you're there and you're going, oh, no, Hayley. But then also behind you, you can hear the fire roaring. Do you know what I mean? It's ready.
Right. Yeah.
What are
you... You've preheated the oven.
The oven is preheated and lunch has arrived.
Yeah.
So what... Just look, talk me through what you're dealing with emotionally here.
Oh, just talking about this makes me feel horrendous. I'm not going to lie.
Well, good. You should do. It should love of your life.
Body's already been salted.
Yeah, she saved your life once already. Now you're going to eat her.
Oh, could I eat her? I don't think I could. You
a
know?
Nice Hayley breast for you.
Do you know, oh God! Do you know what? I don't think I could. I really don't think I could. Do you know what I'm imagining here? This sounds dreadful.
I'd happily tuck in. I think if I was still alive.
Well, if that was your girlfriend, if that was your equivalent.
Oh no! If it was just Hayley, I'd have.
No. Put yourself in my shoes.
He's not got a girlfriend, though.
No, well, that's what I'm saying. Put yourself in my shoes.
You've got to survive, haven't you? It's what she'd want, I think.
It's what she'd want!
At the end of the day.
You know what I'd really love is if you ate me.
What I'm imagining is like going to the extremes to find some form of food. And then if I was literally, I could sense that my hours, my minutes were up, my time is up. If I knew I was on borrowed time,
you'd do it.
I would
you'd
probably do it.
Do it. There you go. See, exactly.
Not the whole body, right, though. Okay, actually, so, that's the thing. I probably wouldn't do the whole body.
So, thing is...
I'd probably just cut her hand off or something.
See you there. Just
cut her hand off.
Do you know what I mean?
At least it wouldn't feel as somehow harrowing. Do you know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, cover the face. Yeah. You're not eating the face.
No. I wouldn't... No,
yeah,
no.
Like the leg or something like that.
Yeah.
Fine. So, what happens is that you're there... You, and the thing is like, when it hits your lips, you're like, oh God, like you're almost like your
I feel sick.
Like your
about
Neanderthal
this,
sort of instinct takes over. You're
just do a bit of gravy.
At that moment, at that moment, as you're stuffing your face in, boat comes in.
Mm.
Just boat comes in, local fisherman, tribesman. Saves you. You're saved, right?
Okay. Oh, thank God. Yeah.
So you get home, they sort of, you've got massive beards, like the British Embassy take you in. They're like, Simon Alexander, you've been all over Sky News. People have been searching for you everywhere. Like, you know, people have been listening to the podcast and subscribing like crazy.
Hayley's parents worried sick.
Ollie's been cashing in on it. Do you know what I mean? He's been doing interviews with Sky News. Have you downloaded our top 100
podcast? What an idiot.
And they get, so you get, they fly you back over, they shave you on the plane, they go, look, you just got to take it steady, you can't reintegrate into society too quickly, you can't go back to work.
Mm.
First thing gets back, you get home, you ring your parents, you ring Hayley's parents, turn up, oh, Simon, what happened? Tell us all about it.
Do I tell them I hate her?
Do you reckon?
No, I don't.
But she saved you, because that's a lovely story. She's a hero. She floated you to safety. Your girlfriend, the human buoyancy aid, saved you. It's a lovely story. They'll remember her. They'll go, she was a hero.
There are some... I don't like lying, but I would say in that situation that I lost Hayley at sea and never saw her again. I wouldn't say that I started tucking into her leg.
Listening to Fubar Radio, Ollie and Simon here. We've also got a friend, Seb. I was saying earlier, Seb, you're like, when you weren't in the studio, that you're like the Sol.
Better Call Sol.
Better Call Sol. Do you know who that is at Breaking Bad?
Yeah, yeah.
You're like, you know what he is to the legal system.
Right.
You are to newsreaders. Like, yes, you are technically qualified.
Yeah.
But you're like a renegade.
I think that's quite a compliment, actually. Yeah. I quite like that.
You've gone rogue, haven't you?
Yeah, I quite like that, actually.
Rogue.
It makes me seem a lot cooler than I am.
A couple of weeks ago in the newspaper, do you remember that story about the couple that got married in that Morrison's because that's where they met?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And everyone's like, oh, it's so romantic. It's like, no, he's just a cheap fuck.
It's a good cop out, though.
Hold on, I know where I can get a cheap food buffet.
I've seen a few of those. There's a couple that got married in Costco down an aisle because that's where they first met, so they were all like there. It's also one of the only stores where you can get the most random combinations of things right next to each other. Like, I've been in there before where there was like orange cordial next to a little mini statue of baby Jesus. I mean, only in Costco where you get those two.
Yeah, but it's great because they could have the ceremony and the reception in the same place.
Exactly, yeah. And it wouldn't look out of sorts in Costco. No.
No.
A lot of people are turning to online dating now, and there are kind of two parties. There are the parties that are taking it seriously and they're going on things like BeMySoulmate.com.
Right. Is that a thing? Like that. Is it?
I probably.
Right, okay.
Or there are people that are going the other way onto things like Tinder. Now, starting with online dating, I found a great article the other day about people that, like, the horror stories of meeting online, like going for that first date.
There must be quite a few.
Because I think there is some, and I'm not, because we've got friends that met online, Hannah and James. Mm-hmm. And they are solid.
They're lovely, yeah.
Like, they're going to get married and spend their lives together, right?
It's great.
They live together now. So I'm all for it. But I do think there is a lot to be said for meeting someone face-to-face for the first time, because I do think you can tell a lot.
Right.
Without someone even saying anything. But
so you're just judging the book by
I was going to say, that is judging by appearances,
isn't
it?
It's not. It's about the crazy eyes.
Right.
Again, I feel like you're going by the cover here. Go on.
You can tell a pair of crazy eyes a mile off.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? It can be a really beautiful girl.
Depict for me a crazy eye.
Well, you can't. That's the thing. That's the thing, Simon. People have either got them or they haven't.
It's just intuition that you're able to tell what are the signs.
It's almost like having a thyroid problem. You know, when the eyes start to pop a bit. You can tell crazy eyes a mile off.
When they're a bit bulbous.
Yeah. They've just got that look where they don't blink a lot. It's the lack of blinking.
Yeah, yeah.
Lack of blinking.
Yeah, it's the lack of blinking, trust me.
So if you want to come on to Ollie, just make sure you blink a lot and you'll be fine.
Yeah.
So we found these are genuine stories of people that met online, and this may well put you off online dating for ages. And I know we were trying to get Seb online last week. I don't think this is going to help.
Okay.
But this is Kia. She went on a well-known dating website, okay, and she's written a little review of how the date went.
Okay.
Okay, do you want to...
Yeah, can't wait, yeah, can't wait.
Okay, here's her report. This is like on Amazon at the reviews afterwards.
Yeah.
Okay.
I went for a drink with a guy I'd been chatting with online. He seemed pretty normal. Good job, intelligent, funny. His first question on sitting down, and we had our first drink, was whether I was up for anal.
Wow, wowza. Then straight in there. How do you slip that into conversation?
Ice broken. Everywhere.
Is it a panic? Is it a panic of just going, hi, okay, yeah, good you, yeah, and then just silence and, do you like anal? Or do you literally go, sorry, would you like a drink? Do you like anal? Sorry, what? You just slip it in after a second question. What? Do you know where the toilets are? Do you like anal? Sorry, what did you just say?
But what, you know, for some girls on a date, that, you know, they get to the point where they're so serious about things in a relationship, they will sit down and straight away go, look, I want children and I want to get married.
No.
People online dating are doing that now.
Okay.
It's probably why they're single.
Laying their cards on the table.
Maybe it's somebody in their late 30s and they're saying, look, I don't want to mess around. I only want to meet someone that is genuinely up for long-term commitment.
Yeah. You're making it sound like they're picking up someone from the supermarket.
Right, no, but what I'm saying is...
Excuse me, mate, I'm looking for a 30-inch LED screen.
No, but at least then, do you know what I mean? You're cutting the wheat from the chaff. You're only meeting someone that is genuinely committed. Maybe this guy, anal is that important to him.
It's taken precedent over how are you.
It's as important as having children. Or in his case, definitely not having children. Okay, so she okay, I'll carry on.
Oh, God, it gets worse. Good.
She goes, naturally, I bypassed and watched him drink his body weights in shots before he started crying about his ex-girlfriend and then threw up down my left shoulder when I was trying to walk him home.
Oh, God.
She walked him home? That's generous. Jeez.
This was around 18 months ago. He still messages me from time to time with a hey, or my favourite was, I miss you.
Oh my God.
God, that is freaky.
This is what we're dealing with. My neighbour is on Tinder.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And for anybody that doesn't know what Tinder is, it's kind of a non-serious dating app to locate people in your vicinity, mm-hmm. essentially to flirt or fornicate with. I think that's a fair
pretty much
review of it. But she did meet a nice guy.
Right, okay.
And I quite liked actually flicking through the pictures.
Yeah, so you flick like left for no and right for yes.
I think it's left for no and right for yes.
And then if you also flick right on that same person, so both, that's a match. That's what's
yeah, and
a match.
Then you're allowed to talk.
You're allowed to talk to each other. You're allowed their number.
Now, the idea is you post five pictures, and the key, I've worked out, the key to this is you want five pictures with heavily filtered of you doing lots of different things.
Right.
Okay. Generally surrounded by people that are less good looking than you.
Okay.
That is the key to a great Tinder profile. Mm. I've looked through
don't
a
take
lot
a selfie
of,
in here then, sir.
I've looked through a lot of guys' profiles, right? So she meets this one guy and he seems really, really actually quite nice. I'd looked at his photos. He'd done exactly that. There were photos of him travelling, of him looking smart, mm-hmm. of him, you know, doing all these adventurous activities. Seemed quite well-rounded, well-travelled. Mm-hmm. And they'd been chatting a lot in the Messenger app for a few weeks. He'd even invited her to Sheffield, okay, for a, okay. you know, for a date and a meet.
Yeah.
And so that this has been going on. I mean, talking, and I mean, talking, you know, about life and what they want to do, and like, you know, quite sort of far down the line. She felt quite safe with this one. I'm quite excited about seeing him. It gets to a Sunday morning, okay, and she just, a little message pops up, and she's excited. She gets a little bubble in her stomach, yeah. you know, when the message pops up, it's him. I'm excited about this. And she reads the message, and he said, "What are you doing?"
Oh, no. I can smell where this is going.
So she just takes back saying, I'm just lying in bed. And he said, oh, I'm just about to jump in the shower as well.
Right. Okay.
So at this point, she's come round, she's white as a ghost, and I'm reading back through the messages, right, chronologically.
Well, she's letting you look.
Yeah. Right. Chronologically, I'm reading back through it. She sat down having a sugary cup of tea. And then a few minutes later, she doesn't reply, and he said, I'm having a shower, .. Do you want to join?
Ooh, hello. Oh, hello. This is flirty, isn't right. it? That is.
Okay. Which at this point, I think to myself, well, maybe, you know, it's a bit...
jokey, bit of
jokey,
fun.
Jokey, bit sexual. Next thing, there's a video.
Oh, God.
So I start playing this video, and all it is...
Do you?
Is
really? What did you think it was going to be on the video?
Well, of course, aren't you intrigued? Everyone would watch the video, right?
I think you'd have to
Everyone
press
would watch
play,
the video.
You?
You're going to have to press play.
Yeah.
I'll tell you though, it's at which point you switched off that says a lot about your character.
Right.
So all there is a well-framed running shower. Right, no one in the
well framed.
Like, no
good lighting.
Straight
you know,
away,
you're no
saying,
shadow.
Straight away, you're saying this guy's not a novice.
He's got a lovely shower.
He's not a novice at this. So it's a well framed running shower. Okay. And then the next thing is that he walks into shot with a.
So the camera's propped up again. He's not holding it.
No. It's just
mounted.
There. Okay.
He's got someone filming him.
He walks in from the side.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, stage left.
So he comes in from stage left with a semi-inflated penis. he's completely
naked. So he's naked.
He's completely naked.
Jeez.
But what is... And at this point, I'm still holding out hope. I'm saying to Anna, oh, well, you know...
Like, he could be a lovely guy. You know, he's got a really big personality.
He's got a really nice body, and he could like, maybe get away with a helicopter here, and everything's fine. And
that would be great.
And then
yeah.
What happens next is that he turns as in someone said hello and he's acknowledged and he looks at the
camera down the camera.
What's like the start of a Bond movie?
Oh, hello!
And he starts to masturbate, right? But the weirdest thing is that he's looking into the camera. And
you're
the only
watching
way
it.
That, I'm still watching this. And the only way I can explain his face was, you know, when you're eating a piece of meat and you get some gristle.
Oh, God.
Why did you use the word meat?
Oh,
okay,
God.
So you've kind of got this kind of like quite... You're wincing a little bit.
Right.
And he's holding eye contact. And I was so... like,
caught up in his eyes?
I was so
fixated.
I was compelled to carry
aroused.
On because it was
how long
so
was the video?
Weird. It must have been a few minutes long.
Really?
And the finale was
No, don't go for the finale, please.
Was the finale the finale?
The grand finale was him onto the phone.
No!
No!
And that was the end of the
no!
video.
No! Well, he managed to press stop with his...
The best thing is, right? So, the best thing is, bear in mind...
Really, you watched the whole thing?
No, I watched the whole thing. Because it was... I was absolutely... I couldn't believe...
Looking for
I
tips.
Yeah. And also, I'd never seen another man... It was a. It was like an
right.
unusual thing.
Okay.
So this was sent on the... This was sent on the Sunday morning, right? We're now reviewing this on the Monday evening, okay?
Right, good.
So the best thing is, so that video goes, no response from Anna, right? Obviously,
yeah.
No response. So he knows, you know.
That right. is not what I was looking for so, here. Yeah.
Next message from him.
Yeah.
Next day, 5 o'clock in the evening. What are you up to?
Guess what I'm doing? Oh my God.
Good day.
No.
Your mother in a world. She's not sure if you're a boy. Talent and Cy Alexander on FUBAR Radio.
Before getting my Euros yesterday, actually, I was getting overexcited about my holiday.
Let me guess, you went to the supermarket and bought a load of feta cheese.
No, I'll get that when I'm out there. Are you joking? No, I went across to the shops to get some clothes. Spent a little bit of money on some clothes. And then I...
This is awful holiday clothes, stuff that you'd never wear in the UK. You're going to be that guy. Do you know the guy that annoys me? Is the guy in the airport who's in his like Hawaiian shirt
already, as
and shorts
there.
And flip-flops, either going or getting off the flight.
Yeah.
It's freezing cold.
I know.
Just dress properly.
Well, that's the bit...
We know you've been on holiday.
So you know you're going somewhere hot, but it's like when you go to the airport, you don't want to like carry loads of chunky clothing with you. So it's like, what do you wear actually to the airport? Like, I'm going to 30 degree heat. I don't want to wear a hoodie and jeans because I'm never going to wear them the whole holiday. It is awkward. So yeah, I bought a lot of stuff. I tried more on that I'm a bit that I'm embarrassed about. I always try things on in the shops because I can't stand taking stuff back and the hassle. And I'm sure loads of people have this, but I'm like a medium in some shops, a large in some shops, an XL in other shops. Like, it's different depending on where you go. I was in the cubicle and I had a load of stuff and I put it down and then I turned to lock the cubicle behind me and no joke, like Dumb and Dumber style, I turned the knob to lock it and the knob came off my hand, right? And it's solidly locked, so I can't get out. Absolutely no way of coming out. And I tried shoving the knob back on it, but it wasn't happening at all. There was no way of unlocking this thing whatsoever.
Did you have to shout for help?
Well, this is my thought process, and I don't know whether you'd have done the same, but I thought, well, I'm going to try all the clothes on first before I start shouting for help.
No.
See, that's
no,
not...
I'd be panicking.
What, really?
Yeah, I'd be like, no, I need to get out of this.
Well, maybe it's because I was so excited about holiday.
See,
but
that's your attitude
I'll deal with that later. So I carried on trying on clothes and then like handpicked a couple of them. I have to admit that I did try on one of those like vests. You know, like those holiday, baggy vests.
No.
I was just really curious to see if I could pull it off. Turns out I can't. But I still tried it on because I was like, you never know. I might just turn around
what
and go,
what are you expecting?
Sorry, what have you even... Where's vests been your whole life, mate? Just looking in the mirror, like, stand by it. I'd picked about half the gear. I turned around and I was still trying to shove this thing on. The last thing I wanted to do is ask for help. Now, obviously, we do this show every single day. So what's going through my head, which wouldn't go through everyone else's head, is, oh no, this is what we're going to be talking about tomorrow morning. I don't want it to come to me having to shout for help from this woman because I'm going to have to tell Ollie the truth and tell him that I had to shout for a woman to come. So I got my keys out. There's about 10 different keys on there for various things. And I was putting them inside to try and turn the inner lock. And I got to about the 8th different key I tried and it just about managed to unlock it.
I'm actually quite impressed.
Thanks, but really practical of me. But there was a guy in the cubicle next to me and for ages he must have just heard that, you know, that sort of like rattling of a key like inside and then just a little mini yes when I finally got out.
Spot Simon at Birmingham Airport next week with a string vest on.
We watch the shows, we watch the stars on video.